Hello, America, and to the rest of our listeners around the world, you're listening to yet another exciting episode of Let's Weekend, where we go ahead and try to do part of a whole show, and then Phil gets a phone call, and he deletes the whole thing.
Hey, at least it happened, like, at the beginning, and not, like, when we were doing our Gamer Mag Remembrance.
Yeah, that would have been funny. but anyway, I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and as always, joining me is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Sammons.
Good day, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
For the second time. So things happened and went down in the world, a lot of them involving our now current president. Mm-hmm. We will be talking about that, but we'll also be talking about some other things, such as there's been a new form of matter that's been discovered. Mark Hamill will be talking about Star Wars stuff, his views on it, and he's always interesting to listen to. And of course, and this is fun, apparently the FBI's iOS crack tools somehow managed to make their way to the public.
Yeah.
Somehow. Oh,
this is going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have all that and more on this episode of Let's Weekend. So, to start us off, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Okay, so I finished Republic of Thieves. I mentioned that already. Scott Lynch needs to hurry the fuck up and get the fourth book out.
Yep.
So I'll just, leave it at that. I've been listening to a hell of a lot of music. Yeah. Don't know if any of you guys have heard of Prophets of Rage, but...
Yeah.
Yep, that's that's basically Rage Against the Machine with some of the dudes from Public Enemy.
And Cypress Hill.
And Cypress Hill.
Yep. Yeah, it's Tom Morello, Tim Comerford, Brad Wilk, Chuck D, DJ Lord, and Be Real.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty strong lineup. And their cover of Killing in the Name is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, can you really call it a cover when half the band that originally made it is still there?
Mm-hmm.
It's an alternate edit.
It actually is in this case.
Yeah.
Because they changed some of the lyrics.
Oh.
We're gonna need the YouTube link for that.
Yeah, that's the thing that's got to happen.
Yeah, so I'll try to pull it up during the show. So I'm listening to that. I also picked up the Donnybrooks album over on Bandcamp.
Nice.
If you're not familiar with those guys, they're the ones that did that old-time hockey song. But turns out they've got a few other songs that are really good, too. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, check them out. I feel like the Dropkick Murphys, it's kind of the same style. So,
yeah.
Definitely good there. That's what I've been
Which
doing.
Needed to become a whole genre supported by more than just them, honestly.
Yeah, it's a shame they're not, still going. But, oh well.
Yeah.
So other than that, on the TV front, well... The X-Band started on Wednesday, and somehow I managed to miss that. Even though I was very well aware that it was happening, I forgot about it. So that was really annoying. So now I have to get caught up on that. that's going to happen probably after the show. I'll watch the first two episodes of Season 2 and enjoy that quite a bit. If you haven't watched The X-Band, it's probably one of the best sci-fi shows on TV.
Yeah.
Very, very excellent. Check that out. There's no more Grand Tour, so that's kind of disappointing me right now. Mm-hmm. But I can still watch the rest, the first season all over again, so I'll probably end up doing that.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's one of those series that you do that with.
Yeah. I wish I had a 4K HDR TV, because that show was shot in 4K HDR.
Mm.
So, shame that I can't watch
it. Because Amazon...
Yeah, because they have all of the money, apparently.
Yeah.
So, there's that. And apart from that, well, what do I also have been doing? Video encoding, and lots of it. I kind of showed Teresa some of the encodes I was doing on those animes. So I managed to get a pretty decent set of profiles together for various types of content. So,
Yeah.
This was all spawned because I wanted to watch Bubblegum Crisis and kind of didn't feel like getting my DVDs, so I downloaded a copy and...
I love it.
Yeah, for some reason, somebody thought that encoding a DVD at 600 kilobits a second and then also including two audio tracks that were both 448K was a good idea.
Yeah, my head just, ow.
Yeah, so you could watch your anime in Blurrovision, but get really clear sound. I don't get it. Worst it was is this was 720p, 600k per second. So super Blurrovision. So it's like,
just
okay.
Call it asshole.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I can do better than this. So
try not to stare directly into it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I ripped my original Bubblegum Crisis DVDs and I ordered Tokyo 2040 from Amazon, and I should hopefully get that this week. So I'll be adding that to my Plex server so I can watch that.
Just out of curiosity, did you ever get on that Fate Stay Night that I pointed you to?
No. Unfortunately. Yeah.
Let me know when you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I've kind of like sort of getting back into anime now. It's kind of like the mood has kind of struck me, so yeah, I'll probably end up checking some more of that stuff out now.
Go with that, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of been my week. And I turned 40.
Wait, you actually did turn 40?
Yeah.
Hooray.
I thought it was 39.
Facebook lied to us.
Fake news. No,
alternative facts.
Alternative facts. Yeah. I actually turned 40, but in my head, I'm 39.
Yeah.
I was 39 last year.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Yeah, I'm 39 this year, and next year I will probably still be 39. So mm-hmm. Just like Richard Hammond, who is still 39.
Mm.
So yeah. So that's my week. How about you guys?
It's just going to be more gaming media for me. Basically still putting the finishing touches on this Yakuza 0 review. That game has some meat on its bones, and honestly, don't be surprised if it's one that I end up evangelizing on these podcasts for weeks and months to come, because I'm really thoroughly enjoying it.
Is this a good place to start if you've never played a Yakuza game?
I would still point to 3.
Hmm.
But there are certainly worse places to start.
Yeah.
Because seems like a pretty good point to start, just story-wise.
It gives you the origin story of the main character and one of the fan favorites.
Hmm.
And just kind of goes back and forth between them as they develop. And at the same time, it's just a snapshot of a very interesting and unique time in Japanese history that you might want to read up on it a little bit before you jump into the game so you'll fully appreciate it.
Okay.
But that in itself makes it a unique experience.
Yeah.
That they finally went and did a Yakuza game set in bubble era Japan. And just everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I did start doing I'm not sure if I'd call it a let's play or a long play, because I kind of shut the fuck up while I was playing and just did a section of the game, Ridge Racers 2 again.
Yeah.
I'll be talking more about that on the Day Zero update.
Yeah.
But, hopefully I'll be cranking out another one of my YouTube videos, the sound off videos, pretty soon. And other than that, I'm looking forward to cracking into Double Dragon 4.
Yeah, I've been playing that as well. So.
Yeah, and hearing you talk about it has just made me all the more anxious to get to it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Sunday, because I've already managed to break it.
It doesn't look hard based on the trailers.
It's not. Well, up until you get to, like, later on in the game when they start throwing far more sprites at you than the NES could ever handle.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah.
Harder than Nintendo hard.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. All right, well, all right, and Teresa, what about you?
I've been doing some TV as well. Been enjoying some Netflix original series. I completely binge watched The Crown, all of season one. Hmm. Just like, yeah. I was permanently glued to the sofa. Really enjoyed that, but know, that's a very specific taste. Not everybody gets into that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we've also been watching a series of unfortunate events, which is kind of cool. I've been liking that. We started series four, are we three or four, whatever just came out of Sherlock, and actually just finished up the first episode tonight. And there was a little hook at the end, at the very, very end, like the last second. Mm. It was just a little blip. And I'm interested to see what that's about. That's, yeah. Mm. But I finished up Batman, the Telltale series. That was enjoyable. Is this really a video game, though?
It's a storytelling, you know.
It is, and it was a good story. It kept me coming back for more. But it was really hard to take Bruce Wayne seriously when he looks like Archer. There was that.
Yeah.
I played a little more of Overwatch. Definitely played some Civ 6. I finally tried the two scenarios that are in there. So far, I'm sure there's going to be more scenarios that roll out.
Hmm.
They're all right. I like one more than the other. Hmm. And today I tried Rocket League just to see what that was kind of about. Understand.
It's bananas. Well,
yeah, I understand how people like it. Hmm. It actually made me a little motion sick.
Yeah.
So the physics and I did not agree, and you know, it's not really my bag anyway, but it was kind of fun to try it out.
Yeah.
And I did try Farming Simulator 17.
Yeah.
I got 10 minutes into the tutorial, did not break the disc because I borrowed it from the library. That was just, yeah.
I now really go for that kind of game, and I just can't understand why.
Well, yes. I understand why those people were portrayed in the way that they were on VGHS. That, wow. It was horrible.
Hmm.
So that's about it. Oh, still playing Pokemon Go, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Huh?
There will always be Pokemon Go.
There will. Uh-huh. I finally hit level 29. Yeah, I've been holding gyms left and right all over the damn city. And one of them was really hard because freaking Valor assholes put up 4 Chanseys in a row. They're really hard to take down in 90 seconds. So, yeah, I was very, very happy to take that gym down from level 9 to nothing all by myself. And I was completely frozen after I did it. So it was really cold.
Yeah.
That took a long time.
It's winter right now.
It is. When I got out this morning, the wind chill was 0.
Mm.
But I still took a gym. Mm. So that's all that's been going on with me.
Hmm. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, what about you, Chris?
So I am starting vacation. I'm off for the whole next week, so I got plenty of time to either do nothing or do some things I actually want to do. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's a work in progress at this point.
The struggle. It
seems like a good vacation when you just say, fuck, I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, I got some Dewshine, Mountain Dewshine stuff.
That's good.
It comes in glass bottles.
Mm.
It's pretty good. It's weird. It's like unprocessed.
No food coloring, and they use sugar instead of corn syrup.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like if I didn't know what this was, I'd be like, this tastes like flat Mountain Dew or something like that.
Hmm.
I don't know. But now I can say I've had Dewshine. I just like saying that word. As for other stuff, I watched Central Intelligence, which is the movie with The Rock and Kevin Hart. And it was pretty good. I don't really know what happened in it.
Okay.
It's a weird movie, but it's mainly a vehicle for Kevin Hart and The Rock to just go nuts.
Yeah.
And it does a pretty good job at that. I also watched Game of Thrones, season 3. I'm continuing on about halfway through, and it all starts just going crazy at this point. Pretty much from the end of season 2 to where I'm at now in the middle of it. It's all over the place, like, literally.
Yeah.
As like, the first two seasons are kind of like, here's what's going on in King's Landing. Here's what's going on with the Starks. Here it's like, okay, there's the Lannisters in King's Landing. Here's where Robb Stark is. Here's where Bran is. Here's where Jon Snow is. Here's where Arya is. Here's what's going on down with the Fire Lady. And just all over the place. And it kind of keeps it moving at a pretty good pace, even if it's also kind of moving slow. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching more of that. Still reading the book, the third book.
You're gonna find that you're gonna find that during the third book there, and third season, they start to diverge quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, I think where I was at, it was the Marjorie's mother or grandmother. Her talking to Sansa sort of about Joffrey. That's like where I'm at. That whole scene is exactly how it is in the show.
Yeah,
I know that there are things that already have changed. So I think Bran is sort of in the midst of getting some counseling on his new powers. Like that happened in season the second book. But it's just now going on in the third season, so definitely some big changes, but still kind of on the same path. As for games, still playing Picross E7. I finished all of the main puzzles, finished all of Micross, which is the big painting mode. We essentially do like an 8x8 puzzle first, and then each of the spots you fill in for that is an individual 10x10 puzzle that you do. So you got potentially up to like 60 some puzzles individually. So it's about, it keeps track of how much time total between all of them. They've all three ended up about an hour or so. So it's a lot of stuff there. Three puzzles, and they're all paintings, like famous paintings.
Okay.
Though at this point, it's like four or five games they've done this. It's starting to get into more obscure stuff. But I think at least one of them I recognized. Now I'm in the point where I'm doing lots of Mega Picross, which is where instead of just labeling numbers for every column or row, there are some numbers that stretch across two columns or two rows, and that makes it a lot harder to nail down the spots. And the one thing I started in the previous one, E6, is that basically all the puzzles I did in the regular way, they essentially sort of scramble them up and turn them into Mega Picross versions. That's like a double the content. Which I'm not a huge fan of Mega Picross. It's just kind of not the form of Picross I like, but I'm still gonna keep playing through that stuff. And I think so far I probably put more hours into this specific version than any of the other E games. So far so good on that. I'm also jumping back into Hitman, as now the disc release is out, so they put not the last update, but at least the big update for that essentially completes the first season. So there's the new side mission, which is set in Sapienza. Hmm. Where essentially a corrupt politician is in Sapienza, has mafia ties, and he's hanging out. And essentially they've added a ton of people to the map for this specific side mission. And I managed to disguise myself as a priest, get into confessional with the main target.
Yeah.
And I shot him through the through the little
a little window confession there. Door.
Yeah.
God says I shot no. At,
yeah, I was like, you have been judged.
Mm-hmm.
And they've added some more stuff there. I didn't try out the professional mode just yet. I just want to get mastery on all the maps. I was disappointed the completing challenges on that side mission didn't add to the main mastery for that. So that was weird. I don't know if it did that on the other ones or not. I want to say it did, but that was a little disappointing. But that just gives me more reason to keep going back into the regular maps, trying to figure out new things to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's been pretty much it. I played a little bit of Fire Emblem Heroes, but we can talk about that on Sunday.
Yeah.
I hate mobile games where when you download you play it, and it's like, hey, we need to download more stuff. It's like, well, fuck you. Why don't you deal me that up front?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, now I got to wait for a few minutes while it downloads a couple hundred megabits of
stuff
it couldn't do before.
Yeah.
I think it was Plants vs. Zombies 2 that was like, oh, it's 400 megs. It's like, okay, that's good. I check later. It's a gig. Like, what the fuck were you doing? That was on an 8 gig phone.
Yeah.
It's like, you're fucking stealing all my space. Selfish game. So I deleted it. It's like, fuck you.
8 gig phone? What?
Yeah. Phone I got 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I got 16 and I got space to put in an SD card.
Mm. Ah. Yay. Nice.
I can download everything like an asshole.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, I guess it's my turn. Primarily, yeah, I've been going through Witcher 3. Gotta be surprised, you know, I played a good chunk of it last time, and I'm going through it new here, and I realize there's still a bunch of stuff I missed. Of course, that's also because they may have added in new stuff since then, so it's entirely possible that this is stuff they just added recently.
Yeah, well, I think with each of the expansions, they added more stuff to the main game, just on its own.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that and some of the free stuff they added as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
Does
also,
that have like a percentage thing, where it's like, you've done X percent?
Yeah, I think it does.
Hmm.
I remember there being something like it the last time I played it, so...
That seems like a demoralizing thing.
Yeah.
Playing, it's like, you've done 1%. I'm 20 hours in, what the hell?
Yeah. And you know what the worst part is? I immediately started, and after I did the first big hunt, the very next thing I did is challenge random people to Gwent.
Yay, Gwent.
Yeah, they're working on a full game just for you.
Yep.
Just for me.
Now you can play both versions.
Yeah. But yeah. So obviously there's all that. I also, those of you who don't know something else, my recent addiction being Nisio Eason, the famous Japanese author, who a bunch of his books are getting translated now. Two of the Bakemonogatari series are now available. I finished the second one last night, which is basically makes up, I think, the first four or five episodes of the anime.
Yeah.
And I recently got in the mail the first volume of the Kubikiri cycle, also known as Decapitation, the Blue Savant and the Nonsense User, which is one of his weird sort of mystery novels that he's known for writing, where for whatever reason all the female characters in there are just a little off mentally.
Yeah.
Especially like that's sort of like just a thing with a lot of his stories. Like in the Monogatari series, there's Senjo Kahara, who's the first female character he more or less that the protagonist ends up helping, more or less, with a supernatural problem. And she's basically this sort of tall, sort of busty high schooler who, you know, she's obviously, this is Japan and this is by a male writer, so obviously she's got a short skirt and everything. And somehow she manages to pack a bunch of deadly school supplies in there.
Okay.
Staplers, compasses, utility knives, that type of thing. And apparently she's got some sort of Asperger's or something, because she is very bad with social cues.
Hmm.
I should know, I have Asperger's, and I can tell.
Hmm.
But yeah, so there's that. I'm hoping at some point they'll bring over the... They'll start maybe translating the Madoka Box manga, because I really want to read that.
Hmm.
Again, that's another one of the stories where just the main female character is just a little off. but my other great pastime has been rolling Nazis.
This seems to be becoming America's national pastime now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, well, it's so, yeah, it's really easy to do.
Just getting back into the 40s spirit.
Yeah. So, as everybody knows, we talked about it last week, certain alt-right douchebag by the name of Richard Spencer was trying to start shit at an Antifa rally, and while he was being interviewed by someone, one of those Antifa dudes came up and sucker-punched his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically walking it off for like half a block.
Hmm.
And then later that same day, he got punched again. And apparently they got that on film as well. So I decided to take up the cause, for lack of a better word. And basically on YouTube, on Facebook, just Twitter, wherever I can find them, just basically mock the hell out of them.
Hmm.
Have you punched a Nazi today?
Yes. Uncle Sam says, I want you.
To punch Nazis.
Yeah. Yep. So it's usually, it'll go something like, you know, I'm a frequent watcher of the Young Turks, as I've probably talked about by now. And, recently the Young Turks got Sean King on their staff. And for those of you who don't know who Sean King is, Sean King is a light-skinned black man who and you can partly thank Milo Yiannopoulos for this, is constantly being harassed as saying that he's not really black, he's a white guy pretending to be black.
Yeah, he's constantly trending because people are starting that shit up again over and over again.
Yeah.
Just to make it clear, yes, he is in fact black. The people who think he's white are the people who've never heard the term high yellow before. And yes, his birth certificate and his records are out in public for anyone to see, and it very clearly shows that he is. You know, in the comment section, of course, but I mean, it's a YouTube comment section. What do you expect? He'll get people, you know, constantly calling him. I think someone called him Talcum X. And I said, and this dude had like, you know, a Himmler Avi on his Nexus message, and I'm like, oh yeah, time to get to work. So usually it starts something along the lines of, aw, were you twiggered? You need a safe space. And then usually the response will be something along the lines of, do kite fag, go die in hell, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'll repeat, yeah, you keep saying that, and I'll let you know what a vagina feels like. That usually stops it right there.
Surprisingly, yes.
Well, I mean, you know your audience there.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, it's just great fun, you know. See, this way I don't have to do like what my great granddad did and actually shoot at them. So
yeah.
And for the record, yes, if you see a Nazi, please do the world a favor. Give him 5 fingers in the old bread basket. Just for America. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like that. In the video where he got punched, he claimed he wasn't a Nazi, then tweeted a comic of a Nazi putting Americans in internment camp or concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
Says, honestly, we weren't even interested in concentration camps, but people would not stop punching us.
Oh, and so I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
Seriously, the thing about Nazis is, if you really want to make sure that they never, ever get any kind of power, is to constantly mock, berate, and, yes, punch them.
Yeah.
Because the one thing they absolutely cannot stand is not being taken seriously.
Yeah.
They thrive on your fear and your apathy.
Yeah.
And, you know, failing that, Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah. Because, as I said before, I talked about the Battle of Cable Street a while back, and I can tell you this, Oswald Mosley and his British Union of Fascists never stepped foot in East London ever again.
Yep. So.
It works.
Yep.
So, I guess with that out of the way, it is time once again for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's random knack factoid.
Knacktoid?
So.
What were you?
What?
Were you just about to say Brandon's random knacktoid?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
I've been drinking.
So clearly I am not the least sober person
here. Nope.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Brandon's running this.
Catching up to do.
Yeah. Brandon's driving this car around.
Yeah. Anyway, so, all the way over in Washington, D.C., there is a place called the Cathedral Church of St. Peter and St. Paul in the City and Diocese of Washington, also formerly known as the, or, well, informally known as the Washington National Cathedral. It's a Episcopal church. Again, located in Washington, D.C., and has been the site of many major services, everything from the memorial service for Eleanor Roosevelt, funeral memorial services for the victims of the Virginia Tech massacre. You know, stuff for like 9/11 memorials. A lot of famous people have been married there. For example, John D. Rockefeller had his daughter, who was married to a man named James Douglas Carnegie, who was the son of, yes, Andrew Carnegie. But you know what else you can find there?
What's that?
Well, you see, much like any other cathedral, it has a bunch of architecture there. And as anybody knows with cathedrals, you know, as far as architecture is concerned, you'll have the big windows, steeples, you'll have gargoyles,
mm-hmm.
which and grotesques. Now, people don't know the difference. sometimes mix up these two because they're not the same thing. A gargoyle is basically a sculpture whose primary purpose is to act like rain gutters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the rain water pours out of the mouth. Grotesques are basically little sculptures that stick out and help bounce water off of the inner workings.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Washington National Cathedral, you can find such things as dragons, angels, priests, and Darth Vader.
Okay.
There he is.
Darth Vader.
That's totally Darth Vader.
Yep. That is Darth Vader. And you're probably wondering, okay, how the hell did that happen?
I would like to know this because I know that Star Wars, to a lot of people, is a religion, but...
That's putting it lightly.
Okay, okay, I'll explain. Okay, so first of all, this image was sculpted by a guy named J. Hall Carpenter. He's been sort of the primary sculptor for a lot of the figures at Washington National Cathedral. So back in the early 80s, they were constructing the Northwest Tower of the Cathedral. And the cathedral put out a contest to... you know, all over the country to design grotesques for the new tower. And amongst these, the third place was a young boy by the name of Christopher Rader who sent in his drawing of Darth Vader. As you can see in the figure, it's essentially meant to be sort of a exaggerated, almost chibi-like Darth Vader. You can see his little hands sort of bunched up against his neck down there at the bottom.
Yeah.
And his oversized head. This, of course, was only the third place. The other two included a girl with pigtails and freckles, a small little dude with glasses holding an umbrella, and I think the other one was a Griffin or something like that.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Darth Vader's on the National Cathedral.
That's awesome.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. We find your lack of faith disturbing.
Nice.
You know what's even better?
Hmm?
The Washington National Cathedral has a gift shop.
Okay.
And you know what one of the things they sell there is? A little miniature version of the Darth Vader grotesque.
Probably a popular seller.
It definitely is.
Hmm.
All right. Now time to get to the show proper. So... we start off, of course, with our asshole of the week, and really, it couldn't have been anyone else.
Yeah, well, we've kind of avoided, you know, naming him
directly,
but yeah,
this week, part of the show, but
they've almost all been symptoms of him.
Yeah,
but this one is directly related to him.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to take a wild guess because you guys kind of already know my views on the matter, so I'm going to let you guys go first.
Okay. Well, personally, I'm kind of the opinion that, you know, maybe the Constitution has something to say against what he's actually doing by trying to ban people based on their religion.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's in there.
Yeah.
So.
And you guys especially had an attack up there on a mosque.
Yeah, we had an asshole up here. Yeah,
which I think Trump thought was some radical Islamic terrorist.
No, and Fox News was reporting as a Moroccan Muslim, which it was not.
Well, it was actually Moroccan. The guy who called for help.
Yep. And the dude who actually did it was a white nationalist douchebag who was a fan of Trump.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shocking.
So shocking.
He brings
now
out the
six
best
innocent
in
people are dead.
Yep. Because assholes.
Yeah. And so, okay, I think probably what we need to do is we need to be specific about what this actually is. So calling it a Muslim ban, as it's popularly called, it basically is a Muslim ban in spirit, but not technically. But it kind of is, and I'll explain why. So, give me just a second. So, this was enacted around last Saturday, I believe, right?
Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Around Friday, Saturday. Yeah. Okay, so this is coming from the Telegraph over in the UK, and this is what it's saying. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so first and foremost, what is an executive order? Because I think that needs to be pointed out. This was an executive order. It came from President Trump's desk itself. An executive order is an official statement from the president which tells government agencies how to use their resources. In the case of Mr. Trump's quote-unquote Muslim ban, the order bars – okay, and here it goes. The order bars citizens of seven Muslim-majority countries from entering the United States for a period of 90 days. It also suspends the United States refugee system for a period of 120 days. President Trump says his extreme vetting system will help keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the U.S.
Yeah.
And then it says, okay, so who does it affect? The order does itself not name the countries whose citizens are banned from entering the U.S. Instead, it refers to a statute which applies to seven Muslim-majority nations. They are Syria, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, Yemen, and Iraq, with dual nationals included in the ban. Certain visa categories, such as those for diplomats, are exempt. There have also been reports of legal U.S. residents, known as green card holders, being turned away from U.S.-bound flights. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly said in a statement that people from the seven countries who hold so-called green cards as lawful permanent U.S. residents would not be blocked from returning to the United States from overseas as soon as some had been following the directive. Green cards are not mentioned explicitly in the executive order. Oddly, the ban does not apply to the nationalities of those who carried out the 9/11 attacks, such as Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt. You know what else is also odd about those three groups?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Donald Trump has businesses in all three of them.
Yeah. Imagine that. It's not like there's a conflict of interest there or anything.
Yeah. The ban completely suspends the United States Syrian refugee program, which accepted 12,486 Syrians in 2016. It also gives preference to accepting Christian refugees from the Middle East over Muslim refugees, and it reduces the cap on the total number of refugees allowed to enter in the U.S. in 2017 from 110,000 to just 50,000.
Yeah. Now, there have been a lot of developments since that story broke.
Yes.
Yeah.
In particular, that part about referencing Christian refugees over Muslim refugees. Yeah, Christian refugees have been getting shit, too.
Yeah. They've been getting shit.
The execution has been completely shit since this thing came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've had to... I think they've backpedaled quite a bit on a lot of that. Just because, well, it's just so ham-handedly handled. Yeah, the whole green card thing has been kind of suspended. They're not issuing new green cards anymore for the moment, but the people who have them can still get in now, at least. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
And there's Washington State. I don't know if you had seen this.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's, putting a suit together to basically challenge the validity of the order itself.
Well, yep. Not just that. A Republican-appointed judge ordered the entire ban to be lifted.
Yeah. So,
there's also other things that need to be pointed out. Because of this ban, people are dead.
Yeah.
Yep.
People who needed, desperately needed surgeries, who were getting like heart transplants, were turned away and died.
Yeah.
Breastfeeding children who needed to be breastfed by their parents were turned away. A 5-year-old was put in cuffs and detained.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is being, while the absolutely tone-deaf Trump administration is trying to put out the fire, I guess.
It didn't really take the Trump administration very long to have quite a bit of blood on its hands.
No, it didn't. No. Which, by the way, we didn't even mention that little thing that happened in Yemen.
Yep.
Where he basically had a military strike in Yemen.
Got somebody and killed.
An 8-year-old girl.
Yep.
And a Navy SEAL.
And he outed the wife.
All right, Teresa, I know you want to say something, so go ahead.
Oh, it's just, there's so much to say. But it's mind-boggling that this is going on. It's absolutely mind-boggling. It is like every single day you wake up, and it's almost like being stoned alive with just horror stories, and it's our government doing it. And they're sitting here and bitching about this Bowling Green thing that never even happened, but they're not even owning up to what they did here in Yemen, or there in Yemen. Yeah, let's talk about the fake Bowling Green massacre. Let's not talk about Yemen.
That's because Kellyanne Conway's the queen of bullshit, and she uses that to overwhelm anybody that's interviewing her so they can't call her on her bullshit.
They crucified Hillary when she was Secretary of State over, what was it?
The emails?
Over the people who died in that
Benghazi
attack. Yeah. Yeah, how many people was it? How many Americans was it? Because apparently nobody cares about anything but Americans.
I think it was about two or three?
Okay.
It was about, I think, five or six.
But, okay, so we have five or six.
Which
Americans.
Was a tragedy that needs to be pointed out.
It is. But we have five or six Americans who died when she was Secretary of State. But yet we have one American who has died because, you know, and they should be pointing out, he's president, a little more important than Secretary of State, mostly. But where's the outrage?
Well, here's the thing you also got to remember. The thing with Benghazi, at worst, that was negligence.
Mm-hmm.
This thing in Yemen is directly...
Yeah. It was overt.
A direct action.
Yeah.
You know, Hillary at worst could make the excuse that, you know, it happened while I was looking the other way. This is basically the extent.
Well, there was no security budget either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, this was something State that Obama Department had set up checks. For.
Yeah. And the spin of this administration. I mean, of course, we know about the alternative facts. And of course, we know that everything is just
call those out every chance you get.
Yeah. But we've got this being completely ignored. And what's the Trump administration said about what happened in Quebec? They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Different country doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
No, but they wanted to turn if they're gonna say anything.
I'll take it a step further, their side won.
Yeah. Well, you're probably not wrong.
And to tie into the thing that happened in Quebec, Fox News kept for a while saying that the guy who was responsible for it was a Moroccan Muslim refugee. And it actually took a message from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau himself to get Fox News to retract that.
Yeah. Are we surprised?
No.
Are we at all surprised?
No.
The Moroccan refugee was the guy who called for help.
Yeah. But the important thing to keep in mind, though, is you now have world leaders calling Trump out on his bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good.
And here's the other thing. So, Phil, I guess I'm going to ask you. Ever since the whole thing up there at that mosque happened. What's sort of been the atmosphere in Quebec since then?
It actually hasn't changed very much. Because we're aware here that sometimes people are assholes. You know, it's something that it's a crappy thing that happened, but nobody's chasing anybody down here. There's no people with pitchforks and things going after Trump, because we're not like that up here.
No. For the record, there are like far right assholes in Quebec. I know that for a fact.
Oh yeah.
But their numbers are very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
Like as far as I know, the biggest like far right group in that province is like maybe 150 people.
Yeah.
At most.
Yeah.
But if there's a bright side to any of this, whole awful situation, it was the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't take very long.
Nope.
And unlike, you know, you say whatever you want about the Women's March that happened the day after Trump was inaugurated. Yes, it was giant. It was also a pre-planned event, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this shit that started popping up in every city as soon as this order came out.
Yeah. Not just the assemblings that people, but also, like, you know, big companies, like, speaking out, saying, hey, this is bad for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And lawyers going to the airports.
Yeah.
And being there for people who need them. I mean,
the ACLU right now is
lawyers on mass have done something good in the world.
Yeah, I was going to say the ACLU right now is swamped with people that want to help, and they don't have the resources right now. So they have to they're going to have to set up and hire somebody to manage like all of the inbound requests for lawyers who want to do pro bono work.
Yeah, and they're getting a ton of donations. I think Bandcamp today is donating their profits all to ACLU for today, Friday.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Bandcamp.
I noticed at least a couple of artists have also said that they're going to donate their share as well to ACLU.
Yeah, ACLU has actually gotten over $24 million in donations since this whole thing started.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just to put that to measure that, their total donations for last year was just $4 million.
Yeah.
Wow. See, and this is where I'm going to bring in Bernie Sanders again. Mm. And it's not about Bernie Sanders. It's about his supporters. You know, we figured out that we can have some grassroots movements, and we need to put our money where our mouth is, and we need to support things that we see being a positive change in the world. And a lot of people have realized that money does help when it comes to donating to places like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something else I just want to point out. As pretty much every industry this has affected, the gaming industry in particular.
Yeah, has we can also probably talk about that on Sunday too.
Yeah, but
seen a couple of articles going into that.
Yeah, specifically, I wanted to bring up the thing with Insomniac, who made their position on it very clear. And so they put that story up on Game Informer, and a good half of the comments in that article were about, why do we got to keep bringing politics into my gaming stuff?
Because politics is forcing itself into your games.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to be honest. The days where we could sort of let me start again with that. There was a time in this country where, and this is really something that kind of has been in the American DNA pretty much from its inception. This strong distrust in our government. Now, distrust in authority is a healthy thing. But the problem is that it became so intense and so, I mean, it was like generational that it's eventually came to a point where the government is no longer considered to be like something that's attached to the people. It's become an other, an abstract that we can talk about, and whenever our government does something horrible, we can wash our hands of any responsibility. But the fact of the matter is that the government is a part of the popular will.
And they're supposed to be working for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the days where we could sort of do that thing where politics are this thing and other things and rest of life is over here, those days are gone. They're never coming back. And frankly, we're all the better for it.
Yeah.
So really, all I want to say is grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, be an adult. You know, if you're a teenager, then, you know, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're 20, 30 something. You know, this is shit that affects you.
Yep.
And we're all, you know, this is not a, we cannot wallow in our apathy any longer.
Yeah. You have to make your voices heard.
You know, no.
You got to, you know, contact your representatives. They're the ones who are supposed to be working for you, not the other way around. You know, you make your will known. And if they still don't listen, then there's a little
vote
provision.
Vote the fuckers out.
Yeah, you vote the fuckers out. Or, well, if it gets to the point where, well, it's a whole systematic collapse, well, the Constitution has a provision for that, too.
It does.
And also just I wanted to say if this has done anything, it's also made me feel a little bit better about my country. Because the absolute just loathing of this action is overwhelming. I don't think I've seen both Democrats and Republicans come together against something like this in a long time.
Yeah.
I was on R News, you know, the news subreddit on Reddit, which is usually a hotbed of reactionary garbage. And it was overwhelming in its condemnation of this.
Yeah. So.
That is,
encouraging.
Yeah,
encouraging.
It's heartening.
Yeah.
I just wish it didn't take.
Yeah, you don't. You think we could have found a harder way to go about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it happened. This is what we have to deal with now. Well, you guys have to deal with it more than I do, but. Yeah.
Oh, and before we move on, just one more thing I wanted to say. All of you out there who voted for Trump, claiming that no, he could never do something like this. You know, he's got the Constitution. He's not going to be able to try something like this.
Or my favorite, this could never happen in America.
Yeah.
There is a book written called It Can Happen Here. You should read it.
Mm-hmm.
It happened.
Yep. You're going to take away my health insurance?
Yep, that totally happened. Yeah.
And honestly, the fault is nobody but your own.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure now there's a lot of Trump voters who are having buyer's remorse at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I just want, yeah, and I think everybody needs to know this. You know, this isn't a case of, like, him hiding what he was going to do.
He said what he was going to do from the onset.
Yeah.
If anything, I might kind of sort of have to give him props for actually going through with his campaign promises, unlike most politicians.
Yeah.
So I guess that's good, question mark?
Big, huge
but of
question
all,
mark.
Of all the politicians to do that.
It had to be him.
Yeah.
Murphy's Law here?
Yeah.
Yeah, in probably its most concentrated form.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we move on, big final question that needs to be asked. Do you think Donald Trump is still going to be president by this time in July?
Oh, fuck no.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes, the motherfucker's still going to be here.
mean, we said he had no chance, what, 6 months ago? Yeah. 10 months ago? 12 months ago?
But yeah, well, he won the election.
He's the cockroach after the nuclear war. Somehow finds a way to keep going.
You could have just stopped at cock. He's just a giant cock.
Yeah, just a giant cock, yeah.
Oh, with a tiny one.
Probably the scariest thing out of all of this is that we know that when Trump accuses other people of doing something, he's actually doing it.
Hmm.
So when he is taking shots at John McCain and Lindsey Graham, and saying they're looking to start World War III, that's a scary thing for the President of the United States to be talking about World War III so cavalierly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And watch out for diversionary tactics, because I think we're in a huge one.
Oh, yeah. His whole administration is about diverting the media away from all of the stuff he's, you know, doesn't want you to know about.
If not openly castigating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing I like about his Twitter right now is he's figured out the quotes. He figured out how to do quote, but... And he's using them wrong. I think he's trying to use them as emphasis, but he's using them in a way that reads sarcastically. Here's the one. It's, we must keep, quote-unquote, evil out of our country.
Too late.
One of the tweets at the bottom is, so we should call you an Uber when?
There's one where he's talking about getting rid of, quote-unquote, bad dudes.
I see.
And then it says a lot of bad quote unquote dudes out there. Like,
why would you put that in quotes?
Okay. If Twitter had
like a bold button, he would probably bold that stuff, but the way he quotes this stuff just makes it look ridiculous.
I'm trying to teach my 9-year old how to properly use air quotes. Donald Trump is president and he's making a 9-year-old type of mistake.
Yeah.
What? Fuck. I need a drink.
Get this, though. You could probably keep Trump from doing anything harmful just by trolling him on Twitter 24/7, and he'd be so preoccupied with that that he wouldn't have time to president.
That would work if it wasn't for one problem. Well, two problems. And their names are Mike Pence and Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Mm. Well, who are probably more than likely the ones that are actually running the show.
Yeah. Well,
those you don't know, apparently most of the other people in the staff had no idea what the contents of that executive order was. And apparently neither did Trump, or at least that's what it suggests when he was reading the thing.
Oh, shit.
Well, your ultimate question was, is he going to be president in this time in July? Now, my question is...
Say it that way, he's not even president right now.
Well, will he rage quit, or will he be removed? If it comes to that, is he going to be rage
I think he'll be removed, physically.
Yeah. Or are you thinking like some sort of military coup or something?
Yeah, I don't know about military coup, but
something like what I was describing last week.
You know, FAA regulations for drones say that for registered drones have to be below 250 grams. You can probably, if you're really, really good, you could probably get away with a 200-gram drone and then 50 grams of explosives. So
I was actually suggesting like something like a drone with a coat hanger at the bottom of it so it can just scoop up
yoink
Trump and then carry him out and drop him in the middle of the Pacific, something like that.
Just get that guy in Florida that gets on his lounge chair and just puts tons of balloons on it and just flies over to the White House.
I still think in the end he gets taken out by one of his own Secret Service detail.
Yeah, as an
accident. One of the scads of people surrounding him at any given time who has more of a responsibility to the country and the Constitution than to the presidency.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, enough of that crap.
Yeah.
All right, so Greg Popovich, who is the coach for the Spurs, he did a San Antonio Spurs, and he had recently gave a speech on the subject of white privilege. Chris, was this your thing?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and...
Yeah, so with this being Black History Month, he was getting an interview, and he was asked about what Black History Month means to him, and he sort of put it in the context of white privilege. And so here's what he said. Well, it's a remembrance and a bit of a celebration in some ways. It sounds odd because we're not there yet, but it's always important to remember what is past and what is being experienced now by the Black population. It's a celebration of some of the good things that have happened and a reminder that there's a lot more work to do. But more than anything, I think if people take the time to think about it, I think it is our national sin. It always intrigues me when people come out with, I'm tired of talking about that, or do we have to talk about that, talk about race again? And the answer is, you're damned right we do. Because it's always there, and it's systemic in the sense that when you talk about opportunity, it's not about, well, if you lace up your shoes and you work hard, then you can have the American dream. That's a bunch of hogwash. If you're born white, you automatically have a monstrous advantage educationally, economically, and culturally into society and all the systemic roadblocks that exist. Whether it's in a judicial sense, a neighborhood sense, with laws, zoning, education, we have huge problems in that regard that are very complicated, but take leadership, time, and real concern to try to solve. It's a tough one because people don't really want to face it, and it's in our national discourse. We have a president of the United States who spent 4 or 5 years disparaging and trying to illegitimize our president, and we know that was a big fake, but still, he felt for some reason it had to be done. I can still remember a paraphrase close to a quote, investigators were sent to Hawaii and you cannot believe what they found. Well, that was a lie. So if it's being discussed and perpetrated at that level, you've got a national problem. I think that's enough. And that's the sort of statement you would never see anybody that's actually running the country would admit about this sort of issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's amazing that a basketball coach is able to speak more eloquently on this topic than anybody that's actually running the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the transcript of Trump's Black History Month thing. It was
embarrassing.
It was something.
Said Frederick Douglass is a good dude. People are.
Starting to learn a lot more about him now.
Well, the wonderful thing about that is the Twitter account that he is posthumously running, apparently.
Yeah, I like there's a picture that was in response to like, and now we go live to Frederick Douglass. Shows his grave.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, people should definitely go read his Wikipedia bio for Frederick Douglass. Learn a lot about him.
Yeah.
Well, we learned about this shit in high school.
Yeah.
Am I the only thing you also have to remember?
Well, yeah, but you need to learn a bit more about him other than that because they tend to sanitize him a bit in high school.
Mm. Oh, I did a research paper on him, so
yeah.
I did dive deeper. I guess most people don't do that.
No.
I think we learn about him in the context of like the Civil War and everything that happened after that.
Yeah.
It's sort of hard to just dive deep into his own story when you have to go with a whole bunch of other stuff as well.
Yeah. Mm. It also doesn't help that, let's face it, high school education as far as history is concerned kind of sucks.
Mm.
Yeah, well, DeVos is sure going to fix that, isn't she?
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think she got in, so...
Not yet. I think they had...
Not yet.
One of the senators in charge of that whole thing put in for a delay, and then she's gathering letters and such from people to present during the...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever meeting that's going on soon.
And there's already a few Republicans who've broken ranks and...
I'm saying, hell no.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, their constituents are calling and saying hell no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who have been on the phones about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just for the record, I want to point this out. Protesting is absolutely your patriotic duty.
Yep.
Go out and do it.
Yep.
And remember, these are your representatives, so harass the hell out of them.
Yeah.
That's free speech.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Not spreading hate speech in colleges,
yeah.
Trying to out transgender people, or suggesting people call the ICE hotline for immigrants.
Yeah.
If you suspect there are any illegals in your school.
Yeah, by the way, just because you brought it up, that dirtbag, I'm not even going to mention his name, was going to do a thing over at Berkeley, and it got canceled after protests that turned kind of violent. And I would be kind of pithy and moralistic about that if it weren't for the fact that I just really fucking hate that guy. And as far as I'm concerned, if it prevents him from getting to Berkeley, you can probably just go ahead and nuke all of California.
And what kind of bull crap threat was that?
Hmm.
Well, maybe we'll just cut your funding, says Trump on Twitter, to UC Berkeley. Seriously, that's what he said.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. He said, what will you do without funding?
Hmm.
It's bullying tactics.
Yeah. Well, you also have to remember that University of Berkeley... Berkeley is really sensitive to that type of stuff, considering history.
Yeah.
And yeah, big surprise, college students going a little overboard in their social protests.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened for the last 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Especially in Berkeley.
Yeah.
So, all right, enough with the serious stuff. So, as everybody knows, the SAG Awards happened recently, and Stranger Things won some awards, as it
Best
very much
ensemble.
Is. Yeah, Winona Ryder.
There are part videos of this, and pictures of it in this
part of this ensemble, and I don't know about you, but it kind of looks like somebody was
drinking,
like
too much?
Had somebody was. Like
drinking.
Somebody
this
was
is not the work of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
I don't know, man.
Alcohol.
Like somebody was. It looks like somebody was dangling a piece of slice from a fishing lure or something, and were.
You've seen the pizza gif, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's epic. Like when I die and somebody has memorial service for me, they better play this shit. That was funny.
Mm.
That was funny. That's right. It is
somebody. I'm convinced somebody must have spiked her drink or something because that is not
she
something
was rolling
you do
face
when sober.
On something.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was just photobombing.
You know, maybe she was trying to find the camera.
Oh,
she knew what she was doing.
Yeah, I think she was
right
deliberately
to,
photobombing everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Yeah, watch right now. She's freaking out.
Oh, I know that.
Like, oh my god, I'm relevant again.
Yeah.
It's like... Speech is really good.
So it's that green shit back there, too.
Yeah.
And she's like, power. Yeah,
that was the funniest part.
Yeah.
So,
but go ahead and watch Stranger Things, though,
because
that's a great series.
Oh,
and season 2 is coming. Like, you're supposed to be doing an ad for that during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
And the kids, they're on the nose with a reference to them wearing Ghostbusters gear.
Yeah.
So basically the New York Islanders
yeah
so it yeah go ahead and explain this one
So the situation that they moved it from Long Island to Brooklyn, and the whole thing went just the whole situation went to shit from the beginning. It was they do not have a good arrangement there at Barclay Center. They can't get out of there soon enough. There's a huge push. The assumption is that they're going to end up back on Long Island, either at their old digs or in a new arena, which they would really need as if this is how it goes. But at the same time, they've got an offer on the table now from the governor of Connecticut, I believe, said that they should go and at least temporarily, maybe permanently, to Hartford. And that's one of those cities that was kind of hard done by the NHL in the 1990s. They lost the Whalers to Carolina that became the Hurricanes. Honestly, they deserve an NHL franchise, and with the league having done right by Winnipeg finally, and trying to do right by Quebec City eventually, I wouldn't be surprised if this was a move that got some momentum. I don't think it would be for the best. I think the Islanders have enough of a standing tradition in the NHL that the best case scenario would see them stay in New York. But if that's not on the cards, then it would be a real feel good story to see them end up in Hartford.
Yeah.
See a revival of the Whalers.
That would be problematic as far as logos go in this time.
Yeah.
PETA might have something to say about that. Let's just put it that way.
I don't know. The Hartford Whalers have one of the most iconic logos in the history of sports.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the name is what would rub them the wrong way more than the logo itself.
Yeah.
So it
could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like this is a fan base that would care about pissing off PETA. When they were trying to keep the team in town, they were actually calling it the Save the Whalers campaign. So, I don't think that's even going to be a consideration. But it's something to watch because they've got a building.
Yeah.
That's more than the Islanders organization can say right now.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, the next story we've got here is frankly kind of sad, because of how desperately it's kind of needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but at the same time, isn't it social responsibility at its finest?
Oh, yeah, it is. So everybody's favorite porn streaming site, Pornhub, not necessarily me. I prefer Xvideos myself. recently debuted a new website called Pornhub Sex Education.
Yeah.
Exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah. Yes. And no, it's not quite what you may be thinking it is. This is in fact a serious attempt at sex education.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately for far too many young people in the United States, Pornhub pretty much is the only sex education they've had.
Yeah. Because, well,
so they're taking it upon themselves to basically realize if that's how it's going to be, then they better make it a good education.
Yeah. So they've got plenty of resources. They got frequently asked questions, interviews. They've got their own sexologist that you can actually email and contact for questions.
Yeah.
They give you basic facts about things like birth control and sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah.
Real information, too, rather than
propaganda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they also don't cut back on the details either.
Yeah.
Because
this is supposed to be an education.
Yeah.
And I think, don't they actually like cross promote it on their own, on the regular Pornhub page? There's like on the videos pages, there's like a link somewhere.
I am not sure.
There probably is.
Yeah.
If not yet, they're probably rolling it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as somebody whose mother, who worked for years in both the Georgia Health Department and the Child Support Enforcement Agency, I can tell you that if you give somebody a good sex education, they won't necessarily have to worry about things like, you know,
STDs,
unplanned pregnancies, etc.
Yeah.
If Ninja. Not, they're usually the ones who end up getting pregnant at 15.
Yeah.
See, fortunately, I was lucky because despite what you might think, Georgia tends to actually have a fairly comprehensive sex education program.
Yeah.
And it's partly due to the fact that one of the experts of HIV AIDS, Dr. Katner, did a lot of his work here in Georgia.
Hmm.
My mom actually helped him out with some of that stuff. Hmm. Also, of course, you know, Georgia has the CDC, so there's also that.
Yeah.
So we take that shit seriously. Yeah. Unfortunately, if you go to places like, I don't know, Alabama, Mississippi, they don't necessarily have that luxury.
No.
Well, it's nice that this is a no-nonsense site that is going to lay everything out. Because I know there are other sites like kidshealth.org, and they go over puberty and body hair and pimples and pads versus tampons. But they never talk about birth control. Nope. They never talk about how a woman gets pregnant. They never talk about how not to get a woman pregnant.
Yeah.
So this.
They never tell you that, no, hymens actually do not work that way.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're interesting things, aren't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, this is much needed. I, you know, big props to Pornhub for doing this.
And yes, they do have direct links to Planned Parenthood. Hmm. Just
putting that out there.
Who I am also a passive supporter of.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Just so I can get my virtue signaling out there, as they like, so the assholes on the right like to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the actual name for the site. It's called Pornhub Sexual Wellness Center.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing unwell about sex. There's no stigma. This seems to have a good tone to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's no spin. It seems like actual facts.
Yeah.
It's what I've seen of it so far is it's all good.
Yeah. And yes, so everything is so. There is nothing wrong with sex. Sex is nice and fun and wonderful. Just you have to like the person you're doing it with, and you got to make sure to have the stuff you need when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, anything else in life. You got to have the right tools for the job, and you got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
So,
this isn't like, you know, this isn't like, I always say that when you refuse to give somebody, if, you know, the popular sort of, simile, they say about abstinence education, that abstinence education is like trying to teach a person in driver's ed, and you're just saying, you give them the key and say, now don't drive.
Yeah. That goes really well.
Anyway, so moving on from that. So the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they have a bit of several tools in their disposal that they use to crack into various IOS systems whenever they need to use them.
Mm-hmm.
You think we need to give the history lesson on this?
Yeah, we probably should.
Hmm.
Okay, so hold on. Let me go ahead and...
Well, it's a kind of pretty quick thing. I mean, it goes back to, what was it, this summer?
They tried suing Apple to force them to...
Yeah, to and track. Apple and Google and a bunch of other people stood up and said, no.
Yeah, basically, FBI, so it says here, last year, the FBI ordered Apple to help crack the iPhone 5C owned by Syed Farouk, one of the shooters in the 2015 attacks in San Bernardino. Apple refused, and then the FBI reportedly worked with Cellebrite, an Israeli firm that specializes in mobile security. According to a statement from Cellebrite last month, a hacker breached one of its legacy servers, and now the data has been released to the public.
Yeah. Cellebrite is, let's just call it what it is, kind of shady.
Oh, yeah.
They serve, and they're kind of trying to do damage control here, saying that this was a legacy server because the information that Motherboard got, they actually verified, and a lot of the, well, pretty much every single account that they tried worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So one of the things that they did find, though, was Cellebrite was using a lot of publicly available jailbreak code.
Mm-hmm.
Not really too surprising because it's publicly available. So, you know, why reinvent the wheel if it's already there?
Exactly.
There was a lot of proprietary stuff that they did have, though. So that's now out in the wild. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for the jailbreak community to get a hold of that. It's like, hey, now we can get
it
too.
I think it doesn't affect anything from 6 and up.
Yeah.
I think it only affects like iPhone 5.
Yeah, 5 and 5C, 5S. It didn't affect the 5S. It was just the 5 and the 5C was the latest.
Yeah, so, a rectally administered firmware update appears imminent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Apple's already fixed all of those problems.
Their fix is pay us $600 and you get a new phone.
Every year. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and do that. So, yeah. Don't really feel too bad about Cellebrite getting their things leaked.
This is why you don't work with third parties.
Yeah.
Especially in other countries, they're the weak links.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially third parties that, you know, tend to do business with authoritarian regimes, which, they...
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you're going to put all your data from your huge FBI project on... "quote unquote" legacy servers,
right?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was so surprised. It wasn't all that long ago. There was a Xiaomi phone that shipped with some malicious code, you know, pre-installed, and people were getting their data stolen and whatnot. And I'm like, China?
Well, there was a little bit more to that story that a lot of people
didn't
get.
There was. Wasn't it another developer or somebody that had
it? Was a third-party seller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was it the seller?
Yeah.
See, I knew that was happening with the Xiaomi Mini routers.
Yeah.
Were coming with, you needed to flash the firmware as soon as you got that sucker.
Yeah. Unless you like giving all of your internet traffic to China. Yeah. That's, you know, if you're okay with that, then you don't need to flash it. But yeah.
So
Mark Hamill. Everybody knows Mark Hamill. He's guy played Luke Skywalker. He's kind of just overall a pretty awesome dude. He's really nice. He's very friendly. He's good with the fans. He's just a massive geek. Everybody knows it. There's a reason he was so perfect for the Joker when Batman is concerned. And,
yeah, for the longest time, his Twitter avatar was his Simpsons form.
Yeah.
When he was on that.
And so recently he had some stuff he wanted to talk about with the prequel trilogy. And here's the thing. Apparently he likes them.
Or at least he doesn't think they're the awful, terrible world-ending things that the internet has been saying for the last nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
It's like, they're not that bad.
Well, yeah, they are.
Says,
I think he's basically saying they're okay.
He said, I couldn't believe some of the things that they wrote about the prequels, you know? I mean, really, beyond I didn't like it, you ruined my childhood. I'm still angry about the way they treated Jake Lloyd. He was only 10 years old, that boy, and he did exactly what George wanted him to do. Believe me, I understand clunky dialogue.
Yeah, he got bullied big time.
Yeah.
both at that time and throughout the rest of his time in school and even as an adult.
Mm.
He has some bad mental health issues to this day just as a result of the things the internet did to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as George Lucas is concerned, Mark said he does have his issues with George Lucas, but they still get along pretty well. And he adds, so some of you don't may not know, there was a documentary that came out a few years ago called The People versus George Lucas.
Yeah.
And he almost got tricked into being interviewed for it. As he says, I almost got hornswoggled into appearing in that documentary. Because they weren't calling it The People versus George Lucas at the time, but I could tell from the questions that they were asking that it was an open invitation to trash George. I have my issues with George, but I love the man. I don't talk outside the family. It's just brutal. One of the reasons I would never let my kids be in show business. Wait till you're 18, because it's going to be an endless life of rejection, ridicule, and unemployment.
Well, okay, if Mark likes the prequels, I'll have to watch them again and maybe look at them again. Yeah. If I could have the prequels without Jar Jar, then that would probably be good. Because I don't think he added anything to that plot.
No, he didn't.
You know what?
Hmm.
Further in, it's how easy it is to manipulate a senator.
Yeah.
That's what he added to the plot.
Ultimately, what you find out is that Jar Jar's kind of sort of the reason why Palpatine was able to get as powerful as he was.
Hmm.
He was manipulated like a lot of the other people in that story.
Yeah.
That's what Sith do.
Yeah.
And he gets he also gets far less annoying, and also that's partly because he's not in the other two movies as much.
Yeah.
But, speaking of people that got harassed because of that movie, that guy also got harassed, but he's an adult.
He can at least take most of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he also talked about, you know, he wasn't really sure if he wanted to come back to be Luke in The Force Awakens. Hmm. Granted, he's not actually in that movie all that much.
No.
He also wasn't very sure that Harrison Ford would agree to come back to be Han Solo.
Hmm.
Fortunately for Han, he only has to do that one movie.
Yeah, he's done now. He can take his residuals, because he's going to be getting quite a bit of those.
He's been wanting to get away from the franchise for a while, though, hasn't he?
Since Empire, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to be killed off in Empire.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Basically, the idea was that the ship that his carbonite thing was on would just blow up.
Yeah.
And that would just be
Slave One. That would have been bad.
Mm.
But yeah, and then there was a line even in Return of the Jedi. It's like, I've got a funny feeling like I'm never going to see her again. Of course, talking about the ship, not Leia.
Yeah.
Imagine having to keep that inside for nearly 30 some years before they do. Finally gets his conclusion.
Yeah.
Even Mark says here, I said he'll never do it. He's too rich and too cranky. He'll never do it. He gets cranky about Star Wars because he has such a varied resume. But he once said in the press that he was doing it. I thought, well, I just got drafted. I said no to this. These people are going to be outside my house like angry villagers in Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Lightsabers instead of torches. I'll be the most hated man in fandom. I was shocked that I was only in the last minute or so, but it was kind of the best of both worlds because I could really sort of enjoy it.
Now he's going to have
a much bigger role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so next up we got some science news, weirdly enough. Scientists recently created a new kind of matter.
Mm.
Time crystals.
Time crystals. Okay.
So to create the time crystals, researchers at the University of Maryland hooked together 10 ytterbium atoms and hit them with two lasers multiple times to keep them out of equilibrium. Though the atoms did settle into a pattern, they could not reach equilibrium, meaning that the crystals perpetually remain in motion, though they don't contain any energy. Almost all of physics is based in studying matter that is at equilibrium, so the ability to create these non-equilibrium crystals is a huge deal for the future of physics.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. We got this.
It said
going
that
on.
It's like Jell-O and it jiggles without being tapped.
That's freaky.
It is. That's awesome, freaky.
Yeah, we got this going on. We got China putting up a quantum entanglement satellite. There's some weird shit going on here. Sci-fi future is coming.
Yeah, warp drive, like, when?
Yeah.
We just had, like, the three main forms of matter, like liquid, gas, and solid. And now we got, like, these time crystals.
Yeah.
There's that dark matter stuff in space.
Yeah, but there's actually an hour. Well, they think it's there. There's, yeah. But there's another theory that kind of says, no, there's other things going on here. You can't just say it's dark matter just to make your equations balance.
Yeah. And then in science news, once again, our penultimate story, we discovered that there was, in fact, a continent that was in the Indian Ocean.
Hmm.
Mauritius.
Yep. The lost continent of Mauritius.
Hmm.
And so they found this out because there was sort of a spot in the Indian Ocean that just had a much stronger gravitational pull mm-hmm. than the rest of the area around it.
Hmm.
And so they figured out that through this that there were used to be a another continent there that just kind of crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Meteorites crashed into it and destroyed it, and there's kind of pieces at the bottom of the ocean of this former continent.
Mm. So I guess the question is Atlantis?
Well, actually, Atlantis was already discovered back in 2012. They found it, and there's, Britain's Atlantis. And then this year, I think it was in summer, they did some ultrasound. A diver did ultrasound and found the lost city of Dunwich, which was apparently like the 10th largest at the time. And this landmass was between Britain and like Normandy, the rest of mainland Europe. And it disappeared because of really bad storms back in the 1200s and 1300s. So that's already there. And I just got really nerdy, didn't I?
that's okay.
That's what this show is.
But apparently Dunwich had human inhabitants going all the way back to the Stone Age. So it was a really big place, and it's not there anymore. But they found, I think, the remains of some sort of church type thing and a toll house.
Yeah.
And other stuff. So yeah. There's some truth there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Science, folks.
Boom. Yes. All right. It's time.
Yeah.
For our final ultimate segment of the show, Gamer Mag Remembrances, and we're doing Dreamcast Magazine number 2.
Yay.
So everybody, open it up.
Yep.
I remember having this one.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I had this one.
So, very first thing on the cover, what do we got? We got Soul Calibur.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the best launch games that system had.
Oh yeah. And see, we got on this. We got Soul Calibur, Power Stone, Virtua Fighter 3 TB, Marvel vs. Capcom, Street Fighter Alpha 3, and Mortal Kombat Gold, which was Mortal Kombat 4. For everybody who's curious, All right, are we ready?
Yep.
Let's get started. Yeah. Open it up. And trick style.
Okay, no, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah. And we got a...
screenshots of the VMU game, because that was really the highlight of the whole package.
Oh, this was Criterion.
It was.
Yep.
It was sort of got better and then brag about.
Yeah. You know, I don't think, whenever you speak about Criterion, I don't think anybody ever mentions this game, and I don't think anybody at Criterion ever wants to mention that game anymore. So, yeah, the less said about that one, the better, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, so, now there's pretty much no Criterion anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
after that, we got the thing from the editor-in-chief, who is apparently trying to recreate the... Yeah, that's exactly Nirvana. What he's doing. He's trying to recreate Nirvana's Nevermind.
Yeah. Except smells the Dreamcast like dream controller. Spirit.
You know, Weird Al did it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
And then, of course, we got the table of contents. Yeah, we see Dreamcast Network. We got Tekken.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there was a rumor that Tekken Tag Tournament was going to be on the Dreamcast, and they latched onto it.
Hmm.
Yep. All right, so let's turn the page. And we got DC ROM, which is some of the games that were, I believe, DC ROM. Yeah, those were the demo discs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure pretty much every issue of Visual Dreamcast Magazine came with a demo disc, didn't it?
Yep. Except the first one.
Yeah.
Yep, the first one. Yep.
Played on the CD.
Yeah. So as we had it here, we had Virtua Fighter 3 TB. So what was really the big difference between Virtua Fighter 3 and Virtua Fighter 3 TB?
The TB stood for Team Battle. You played 3-on-3 King of Fighters style.
Yeah.
Ah. All right. Let's see. We got Dynamite Cop.
Which did really not go over well in a series that was built around learning one character and just mastering them completely rather than going 3 or 4 characters deep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
fortunately, that was an optional mode, and you didn't have to ever touch it. So
yeah, you could play straight up Virtua Fighter 3 on it, thankfully.
Yeah. And then let's see, we have here Dynamite Cop, which was a beat 'em up.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
It's a ridiculous beat-em-up.
Yes, it was.
It was unbelievably stupid, but also unbelievably entertaining.
Yeah. Wasn't that the sequel to Die Hard Arcade, or like?
Yeah, well, Die Hard Arcade in Japan was Dynamite Deka.
Hmm.
Yeah,
and this was Dynamite Deka 2.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't keep the license.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, Die Hard Arcade, man, that game was a load of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Still got my copy.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, and then we got Trick Style, which we skipped over.
Yeah, let's just not talk about that.
Yeah.
We have NFL 2K with a player doing 1/4 of the YMCA.
It's true.
What?
And then
how?
Yeah, compared to modern Madden, NFL 2K, especially that era, is like arcade football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so fast and kind of unrealistic at this point.
Yeah. Mm. And then at the bottom, we have Toy Commander.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, Toy Commander was a game that had an amazing concept, but its execution...
Yeah.
Not so much. Didn't work so well. I don't think we got a game like with that concept for quite some time until, recently, actually.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a Twisted Metal that was kind of that concept of shrunken down?
Yeah, and vehicles. It was a piece of shit.
Yeah. So.
It's amazing how many games tried to do that, like Micro Machines kind of thing, and how few ever really succeeded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal. I liked it.
Well, no, Twisted Metal is good.
Yeah.
The specific game that Brandon is talking about was not good.
At all.
The original team stopped making it.
Yeah.
See, I need to stop reading the next page. I'm reading the letters to the editor.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're at the letters to the editor. Let's see if we got anything
I think that they're referencing non-Dreamcast stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
See down there.
Yeah. Will Square make any future RPGs for the Dreamcast?
Nope.
Nope.
Spoiler alert.
No, they will not. Let's see. Oh, here's a good
Game
one.
Arts
What's
would that
giant
set? Than anything that Square Enix did around that time.
Yeah. Let's see. What's that giant sucking sound? Oh, yeah, it's the content of your new magazine.
No, that was probably either a Sony fanboy or a Nintendo fanboy.
Well, yeah, nice format, but overabundance of Dreamcast enthusiasm. Come on, guys.
It's a Dreamcast magazine, numbnut. Yeah.
In the D-mail section.
Any word on a VirtuCop game for Dreamcast? Nope.
Yeah, that almost did happen, actually. But
it almost happened, but it didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, they got a Crazy Taxi over there.
Yeah.
That was one of the best games for that system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
With an amazing freaking soundtrack.
Yeah.
And it led to Burnout.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody knows that little artwork over there on the far right side. Everybody know what that's referenced to?
No.
That's Eternal Champions.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That needs to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting one to bring back.
Yeah. Well,
the only fighting game I know of that's still more violent than Mortal Kombat 10.
Yes. Although you had to work for those fatalities.
Oh,
this
God,
version of Sega would be probably pretty receptive to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's hope so.
Contact NetherRealm. I bet they'd be happy to give you a hand.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then we've got an ad for Fighting Force 2.
Hawk Manson.
God, that is such a 90s name.
Yeah.
So, 90s game. should we just real quickly talk about what Fighting Force, the original Fighting Force, was? It was a beat 'em up.
The original Fighting Force was a beat 'em up.
It was an
all right
beat 'em up.
It's trying to revolutionize beat 'em ups for 3D.
And it was a lot of fun too.
Yeah. It also might have been a Streets of Rage game, but didn't end up being that.
No. But it still came out, and we still had a bunch of fun with it.
Yeah.
Basically, it was the game where literally everything was a weapon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of like Hard Arcade.
Yeah. Guns, missiles, break off rails, destroy a car, and take out the engine block, and smack a fucker on the head with it.
Yeah. But you had to be that one character to do that one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then so they tried. They made a sequel, and it sucked.
Yeah, it was a third-person kind of action shooter, and it was bad.
It didn't work at all.
No. So yeah, it's
so
because when you have a really good beat 'em up, why do you want to make something else?
Yeah, I don't know.
I am absolutely convinced they were trying to jump on the Metal Gear Solid wagon.
Maybe.
Because that game came out around the time when...
the timing is right.
Yeah, so, I mean, Metal Gear Solid, Siphon Filter, Tenchu, which technically had already came out before then, had started picking up steam again after, that came out, all that stuff. So, yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Hmm.
Let's see. DC Direct, Shenmue.
Hmm.
Complete with a giant bull shot of Shenhua right at the top.
Yeah. We didn't see that game for at least, it was another year and a half before we saw it.
Yeah, and
close to a year, I would say. Hmm. I think it made holiday next year.
Hmm.
And we still didn't freaking see Shenhua.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in the intro, and she's not in the game.
No.
Much less in that detail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that looked... Does that not look like it could be a Shenmue 3 screenshot?
Yeah, it does.
Mm.
Well, if you want a closer idea of what people look like in the finished game, well, look at the smaller ones.
Yeah, no more like that.
Although, and we're giving this shit,
would not
but we
see until Shenmue 2.
And we're giving this shit, but we should point out, holy shit, was this game revolutionary when it came out.
Oh, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. I mean, all the facial expressions were, well, they were there, which is more than I can say for a lot of games back then. So.
Yeah. And obviously the dialogue was a little awkward.
Yeah.
Very awkward.
Yeah, and then there was Metal Gear Solid 2 that sort of did the similar kind of detail, but more in interactive detail. Things like being able to shoot stuff off of the shelves and shoot the bottles and ice and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That Shenmue obviously did not do.
Yeah.
Slipping and falling on your ass in bird shit.
Yeah. Also, and, you know, Shenmue was just, it was one of those games where literally everywhere you went, there was something to look at or something to pick up, something to go through.
Hey, just mister.
You know, just walking.
No, I still remember playing that game for the review over at Game Addicts Network, and that was just kind of my don't bother me week.
Yeah.
Just walking into the convenience store was an adventure in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you discovered that there was an arcade with working games.
Yeah.
And then your life changed forever because you could play a game within a game.
Here's a QT simulator.
You just stopped making progress for a few days.
Yeah. Go, dog. I heard you like to play games. So we put a game in your game so you can game while you're gaming.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you will.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you will.
Yeah.
And then the best part is that...
They did that new Zero as well.
And then the best part is with Shenmue is that eventually you could actually get a console.
Yeah.
Well, there was
one. And play
the
games at your house.
There was one under the TV, but it didn't actually do anything for a while.
Yeah. And then it did.
And then it did.
If you did everything right.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. And then we got some of the other stuff here. Oh, God. Everybody recognizes the screenshot at the top right.
Yes, we do.
Seaman.
Featuring the late, great Leonard Nimoy as narrator.
Yeah.
I like that game a lot.
It was fun.
I played it for a summer, just came back every day and saw it die, or it ran away, or whatever it was.
Yeah. If you raise more than one up.
I think like the back opened up, it's like, see ya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you tried to raise more than...
Yeah, go ahead.
If you raised more than one of them, usually one would kill the other.
Yeah.
It eats it.
Yeah,
it
eats the other one. Yeah. Only the strong survive in the world of semen. And, yeah. It would also try to sell you another Dreamcast, which I found very interesting and kind of, I don't know, indicative of Sega's financial situation at the time.
Yeah.
No, it literally said, you should buy another Dreamcast.
I got to say, the great thing, Seaman sort of represents sort of what made Sega really cool back then.
Yeah,
they just tried weird shit.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's memorable weird shit. I mean, here we are all these years later, and we still remember it.
Yeah. Oh, it's because you had to talk to it, and, you know, it was, like, primitive voice recognition, and there was a lot of cool stuff
going on.
It's
kind of on par with the Xbox One Kinect.
Yeah.
Well. All
right. So,
it's too bad we didn't get Seaman 2 over here.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. So, up next, we've got... Let's see. What do we got? Hedgehog in Your Hands. 16-bit portable.
Sonic Pocket Adventure.
Yeah.
Or good game.
Neo Geo Pocket Color, I think it was.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
This is an ad for a Neo Geo Pocket Color game in the Dreamcast magazine. I'll just point that out.
Uh-huh. Well... Sega and SNK were kind of partnering up around that time, so not really a big surprise. If you go play King of Fighters 98 on the Dreamcast, it even has Neo Geo connectivity.
Yeah.
Basically, to exchange the points that you got for playing the games, you could unlock shit.
Yeah.
And of course,
Neo Geo Pocket to Dreamcast link cable is a thing.
Yeah. So also down there at the bottom, Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie. Actually, it's the Sonic OVA.
Yeah.
Yeah, do yourself a favor, don't.
Yeah, just don't.
Your eardrums will thank you.
Yeah.
It seems like the era where either your voice acting cast was directed well or it went to shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You thought Jaleel White was annoying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Just either get the Sonic the Hedgehog Saturday morning cartoon DVD collection. You know, watch that. It's so much better.
Yes.
I hear that the comic series is actually coming to an end now.
Hmm.
I haven't looked that up, but I'll see.
It down.
Hmm. Let's see.
Like imminently.
Let's see. So over here we got NFL 2K over there ad.
Yep.
All right. And we're still going with Heroes of Might and Magic, House of the Dead side story, and apparently
Zombie Revenge.
Yeah. Let's see. AT&T World Net service for your Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine if Sega Dreamcast was a modern console and they announced AT&T was providing the internet for that.
It'd be like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
And look at that 90s text, just big and giant and weird.
Yeah. So let's see. Next up, we got Pocket Stuff, Pocket Profiles.
Neo Geo Pocket Stuff.
They're doing King of Fighters R2, Metal Slug First Mission, and Bust a Move Pocket.
Yeah.
Metal Slug was pretty good on that.
Yeah. And let's see over here, so DC Japan.
Many a bus ride on King of Fighters R2.
Mm-hmm. And they got the House of the Dead 2 box set down there.
Yeah.
At the bottom. The gun set. Yeah. For Japan.
Yep.
They also had
EMU.
Yeah. And Famitsu actually had their own Dreamcast magazine.
Yeah.
Famitsu's DC. See, and of course, over here we got DC Japan. Let's see, what do we got? House of the Dead 2, of course.
Man, they hyped the shit out of that game.
Yeah, well, it was a great seller for the Dreamcast.
And then, let's see.
Shenmue again?
Yeah. No, that's not Shenmue. That is actually a... Well, yeah, Shenmue is there.
Yeah.
On the import little place, but next to it is roommate number 203, which is...
I had completely forgotten about that game.
Yeah.
Wasn't
that...
I never got.
Yeah. We also
I think
have...
with PlayStation VR, we're going to see the rise of games like that again.
Yeah.
And of course, down there in the corner, it's Sakura Tyson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sakura Wars.
Yeah.
The greatest franchise you've never heard of.
Well, if you're in Japan, you've heard of it a lot. If you're over here, what?
You've heard of it a lot, and you're probably a major fan of it.
Yep.
Oh,
imagine. Imagine an alternate history strategy RPG involving giant steampunk robots combined with a visual novel date simulator.
Yeah.
That's Sakura Wars.
Yeah.
Yep.
With it doesn't character sound design. Like those, it doesn't sound like those two elements would go together, but they do.
With character designs by none other than the creator of Ah My Goddess.
I knew they looked familiar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay.
For those you don't know, he's also one of the primary character designers for the Tales series.
Mm. Which explains a lot, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up, we got...
connecting the dots.
Next up, we got the Fantasy Zone, which is the Dreamcast RPG scene, Eternal Arcadia.
Later Skies of Arcadia. In the West.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Is this what eventually became Skies of Arcadia?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it remained Eternal Arcadia in Japan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's over here,
it became Skies of Arcadia.
Yep. Yeah. And this was a Sega project, wasn't it?
Yep. It wasn't Sonic Team, was it? No.
No, it wasn't Sonic Team. Sonic Team, I'm pretty sure, was doing Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
So, this is this game was.
Oh, it's an offshoot of the team that worked on Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah. God, now, this game, man.
The Overworks.
Yeah.
It's a shame this didn't get any sort of remaster.
Well, we got it on the GameCube.
Legends.
Yeah. But not for modern consoles or PC. Yeah.
Sega really needs to get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get Sega Bass Fishing on there.
Yeah, no, I think we could skip that one.
That's what they did instead of some of this other stuff.
Yeah.
They remember it. I mean, Vice was in Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Yeah. So somebody's paying attention.
Anyway, that's like having the kid from Mother 3 in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you, give us the thing we want.
Look what it did for Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Never say never.
Yeah. So I'm guessing pretty much all of us have played Guys of Arcadia, haven't we?
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I never finished it because my disc died.
Yeah. God, this game was... It's really difficult to explain just how fun this game was.
Hmm.
Just how awesome it was. Just
airships, dude.
Airships, sky pirates, dude. Yep. It's you like Tailspin, you'll like this.
Yep. So, right, let's keep going.
That's one way of putting it.
Yep.
Let's see, Evolution World of Sacred Device.
Yeah. I had that.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah. I don't remember much about it.
I remember much about that.
Mag Launcher. Yeah. God. Oh, we got arcade stuff.
Hmm.
Yay. F355 Challenge.
There's that bananas cockpit version of F355 there.
Yeah, this one had didn't this thing have three screens?
Yep.
Damn. Golly.
You want to know the really fun one?
What was that?
If you had three Dreamcasts, you could do that.
That would have been easier about a year or so later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we also have a firefighting simulator, Brave Firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cross the streams.
And then, of course, the airline pilot simulator.
Yeah.
Everything about the girls.
Japan is big with simulators for some reason.
Considering this was Japan, I'm surprised there were no scantily clad stewardesses.
Yeah. Next up, what do we got here?
Suzuki All-Star Extreme Racing.
Yeah, avoid.
Yeah.
This was not a good game.
All right, and this we got Profile of Greg Thomas.
Well, that's another Criterion Games Suzuki game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They were holding some L's back then.
Yeah,
it's like some Naughty Dog stuff.
Yeah, early stuff, you know. Before
and then look at the... Oh, this is a very 90s ad right here.
Yeah.
In real life, Duke Nukem would be forced to attend sensitivity training. Real life sucks.
And then Duke Nukem... but isn't that period supposed to be inside the quote? Even though they're doing air quotes here, the period shouldn't be on the outside.
Yeah, I really shouldn't.
I mean, who? Oh God. Well, it was an ad too, so it's probably
Remember, and then Duke Nukem Forever came out, and we realized just how embarrassing this character really was.
Yeah, but it took another 10 years before it did.
Yeah,
we were still living off of the old PC nostalgia there.
Yeah.
Test Drive 6.
Yeah. Boy.
Test Drive, no.
One of the early action racers.
Boy, man, they put that on a lot of different formats, didn't they?
It was on all of the things.
Game Boy Color. And it sucked on them all, too, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, they were going to shove that damn thing down your throat whether you wanted it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Alice was, I think that was Infogrames, so
yeah,
that was that.
Let's see. Five great reasons to buy a Sega Dreamcast. On this ad, we got Mortal Kombat Gold. That was Mortal Kombat 4.
No, that's
Hydro Thunder.
That's a good reason.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reason. That's a great reason. Holy crap. That game was in the arcades, too, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think so.
And I'm pretty sure it was pretty awesome in the arcade.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. NBA Showtime. NBA on NBC.
That, no, that was not a good game.
It's so amazing that people that made NBA Jam lost the rights to that because of claim.
Like, and then NFL Blitz 2000.
Oh, hey, these are all Midway games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just figured that out.
And finally, Ready to Rumble Boxing.
Yeah.
That one was okay. The second one was better. Especially since you could play as Michael Jackson.
Yeah. I'm also, wasn't Bill and Hillary Clinton also in that game, too?
Yep.
I think if you played on Christmas, you could play as Santa.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. And looks like here we've got like a history of Sega.
Hmm. The Time Tunnel.
Yeah,
they were an American company.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that. Sega originally started out as service games.
Mm-hmm.
They worked in Okinawa military base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
U.S. military base.
Yep.
Mm.
After World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And then, of course, in the 80s, they came out with all types of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the SG-1000. Yeah, there's a great book. It's all about the Sega, history of Sega. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Yu Suzuki signs on, and the 90s begin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we got Sonic.
Yep.
Yeah, don't bother. Go to Sonic 2. That's really
unless you get the Japanese version of Sonic 1. That one was actually better.
Yeah.
Another thing I had was like a trilogy, Sonic trilogy on Genesis.
Mm. See, and then, of course, 1995, we get the Sega Saturn.
Yep.
I don't know if I should put like a wah-wah trombone or something.
Wah-wah. Yeah.
Well, Sega in 1995 was off its face insane.
Mm-hmm. In Seaman.
Yeah. So.
And then, of course, finally, the Sega Dreamcast. And so many years to come. Wrong.
Yeah. Another two. And then it was gone. Yeah.
And then Sega was completely out of the console business for good.
Yep. And they're never coming back.
Nope. And then let's see, we got Tokyo Extreme Racer.
I like that game.
I never played it.
It was a
Genki game.
Yeah, it was a lot of grinding, but it was kind of fun.
And of course, we got an ad for what was then the greatest 2D fighter at the time. Marvel versus Capcom.
Hmm.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. Some people liked X-Men versus Street Fighter more than Marvel versus Capcom, but hey, it was good.
I was still riding the Alpha 2 wave, to be honest.
Yeah. Fuck you, Mega Man.
Yes, fuck you, Mega Man.
That's the answer to those statements. Fuck you, Mega Man. And also the dude from Cyberbots.
Hmm.
And a bunch of other Capcom characters you never heard of, but immediately wanted to learn about them as soon as you saw them in this game. Mm.
Yeah, if you come across a Cyberbots B-board for CPS2, you've probably got yourself a fortune there.
Yeah. And then, let's see, we got the special report for what was apparently going to be the Planet of the Apes video game.
Mm.
Apes Odyssey.
Yeah.
Did that ever come out?
Nope. I think the Planet of the Apes game did eventually come out, but it wasn't until later. Mm. I think it was PS2 when it came out.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right. Well, moving on. Yes, Planet of the Apes, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Let's see, we got over here on the side, we got Deadly Pursuit.
Mm.
Yeah,
never played that.
And then we got Croc 2. from the franchise that it's been accused that Nintendo got many of the ideas for Super Mario 64.
Except, see, Nintendo actually did them properly. So, there's that.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that created the first game said that he pitched it to Nintendo as a Yoshi game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then so we got an ad for Sonic Adventure.
Yeah. Which I think pretty much everybody who bought a Dreamcast at that time had.
Yeah.
And except regretted for me. It.
Yeah.
No. That, you know, I still have a lot of love for that game. But the thing is, though, after seeing, like, you know, them playing it on, like, Game Grumps and stuff, I seriously do not remember the game being that glitchy.
Oh, I do.
And then I also remember that Aaron Hansen sucks at games.
Yeah.
So, like, I swear there were times where it looks like he was actively trying to break the damn game. Mm. But,
yeah. It would be cool if they made a mode for this when they did the remasters that just lets you go through the action stages.
Yeah.
Skip the rest of it.
Yeah. But dude, you would totally miss their spazzy talking faces.
No, just make that a special mode in itself.
Yeah.
You just get nothing but spazzy talking
faces. Yeah.
You would miss seeing, you know, Sonic singing a verse from his theme song in the ending.
I'm not sure totally that's a bad thing, really.
How are you defining the word miss?
Alright, so let's see, we got the coming soon section. MDK 2.
Fantastic game.
Dreamcast about your acquired taste.
Yeah, that was from a shiny joint.
From the country that brought you Bryan Adams, Alanis Morissette, and the trees in the X-Files.
And from those guys that made medical software.
Yeah.
Shiny, yeah, this is BioWare. Holy crap, I forgot about that. I'm pretty sure, though, this wasn't their first game, though.
No.
The first game was Shattered Steel.
Yeah, that was the mech game.
Yeah.
MDK. This is one of those franchises where if you were to pick up, like, the box art and look on the back of it, you would think it was just some dark, generic sci-fi shooter.
Mm.
Yeah, it's totally not.
No. it's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It is everything you don't think it is.
Yeah. I think it's available on Steam, so if you want to check it out,
you
can do that. It's also on GOG.
Yeah, GOG and Steam.
Yeah. Mm.
See, we got an ad for Speed Devils.
One of those Ubisoft racing games.
I remember that logo very well.
Yeah.
One of those 90 ass.
Yeah. Wasn't one of the greatest games.
No.
So.
WWF Attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was during the Attitude
era of the
WWE, yes, when they were called WWF.
The acclaim era of wrestling games where they just make crap after crap.
Yeah.
The operative word there being acclaim.
Yeah.
You really don't need any more information after that.
Essentially tried to make fighting games, like straight fighting games with combos and such, instead of the way that THQ and Yuke's would do it, where it's sort of, oh, here's your grapple button, then you input certain combos off of that.
Yeah.
You mean the way that has endured to this day?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, this was back in the era when Steve Austin became, became a big deal.
Yeah.
Also, The Rock.
Yeah.
It was at the beginning of Triple H's run.
Yeah.
This is when, what was it, Generation X?
Degeneration X.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And it was also the era of Mr. Ass.
Yeah, Mr. Ass.
Sable.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to the right of that, you have another acclaimed game.
Yep. And then we got...
Yeah. And if they spend as much money developing their talent in game development as they spend on advertising, they probably would still be around today.
Yeah.
Steve Perry. Whether that's the Journey guy or not still is...
It's not.
It remains to be seen. I don't think
it is. It's not.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
And then we got another ad.
That's actually a relief.
And then we have another ad for MDK2.
Yeah. So
I got some of the other Interplay games that were coming to Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm. Star Trek New World.
Yep.
Caesar's Palace.
Yeah. All of those came out.
Incoming Renegade Racers.
Incoming was fun.
All right. We want to go ahead and it's past 2.5 hours now. Should we go ahead and pack it in? We'll finish this up next episode.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. All righty then. Well, we're going to go ahead and pack this in because we still got a ways to go. We're on page 59 now, and we still got
another 50 or so
pages to go with it. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and end it right there, and we'll come back to it next episode. We would like to remind all our viewers that, well, I say viewers, you can listen to us with your eyes.
Yeah.
Works for you. If you're listening to us, we would love to hear from you. If you have anything, any questions you want to ask or statements you want to make, email us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. And we will more than happy to answer any questions or comments you may have. You can...
Dude, remember your SNK Lush is on point tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you would like to download an episode, we are on, just about everywhere.
Yeah.
iTunes.
Google. TuneIn.
Yeah.
Whatever podcatcher you happen to like.
All the places.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. This has been the Let's Weekend Update. And for... Filippo Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Sammons, I would like to say good night, get some sleep out there, and remember to punch your local neighborhood Nazi.